For our last episode of Money and Marriage in this season, I am back with my lovely husband, Adam.
Hello, everybody.
Thank you for joining us again. I know you're still a little nervous.
Yep.
You're a trooper for being here. I really wanted to talk about, as kind of a way to wrap up the season, this idea of taking time away to plan, to dream, to get on the same page, and to celebrate achievements, because I feel like that's been one of the most high leverage things that we've done in our marriage.
Yeah, I think they've really helped us to kind of get on the same page as we go forward.
And I would say every big accomplishment we've ever had started with an idea or a conversation when we were out of our routine. I think most of these ideas didn't happen while we were unloading the dishwasher or cooking dinner or folding the kids' laundry. It was when we got away for a hike or for a weekend away. You know, they happened outside of our normal environment.
Yeah, even just on a long walk.
There's something about getting out of your house, out of your routine, away from the chores, and just kind of that mental distraction. It's something I talk to clients about a lot when they're, especially couples, if they're planning and dreaming and making big changes, it's so helpful to step away from your house, even if you don't have kids.
And the kids, if you have kids.
Especially if you have kids. But even if you don't, you know, that mental to-do list, that visual reminder of everything that could be happening, it's like having too many programs running on your computer. It just slows everything down and you're not as creative. It's harder to dream and think big when you're stuck in the routine.
Yeah.
And I remember actually the very first time we talked about a mini retirement was on, we were driving like a long car trip.
I don't think we were married yet. I think we were engaged.
Maybe. We might have been married. It was early on, either way. Early years. But it was the first time we talked about this idea of maybe taking a mini retirement. And your reaction was,
people don't do that.
Yeah. That's not a real thing.
You'd lose your job.
Yeah. And always the pragmatist. How would we pay for that? And so me coming in with the math, I was like, I think if we just save like an extra 10 or 15% a year for 7 years, we could take a year off every 7 years. And that was how we kind of hatched that first dream there. And then it was really helpful when you were in the military. I would say that really helped us get in the habit because you coordinated so many events and retreats. So we kind of got to tag along for free because you were the tech coordinator extraordinaire.
Yes. Yeah, we got a lot of weekends away. I had to work during the day, but outside of those work hours, we got a lot of away from home, away from everything, and time to focus.
And just the classes and the teachers, like it was new ideas. It was like a new jumping off point for conversation. Right. Sometimes in a marriage, you can kind of get stuck in the same conversations and you need a little infusion of some ideas and inspiration from the outside.
Yeah.
It was actually doing all those retreats that really inspired me to host retreats. Like I saw how impactful it could be for people to get away, get outside the routine, outside of their homes, learn something, have new conversations with new friends, new couples, new people. And it just clears your head to think bigger.
Yeah. And of course, we've done solo ones as well, or not with a group. We've done several of those as well.
Yeah, I think both are really important. And actually, tickets for our event go back on sale in May. So it's already half sold out. But if you're interested, I would definitely head over to my site, jillianjohnsrud.com. If there's tickets left, there will be a button on the homepage.
Yeah.
And you can check that out.
And if you're listening to this episode, it's not coming out until May. So if you're hearing this, then they're already available.
Okay, they're available. Run over to the site and check it out. So one of the things, we'll talk about kind of our solo trips. What for you has been the most helpful in kind of organizing these and planning them and making that time really productive?
Well, you usually do the organizing and stuff. I'll rent the room, but you're the mind behind planning. And honestly, the first time or two we did it, I was very anxious about doing any kind of exercises and things like that because I didn't know what to expect. I didn't want to be a disappointment. And then I ended up loving doing the exercises.
I think it's really important when you're just getting started with this kind of stuff with your spouse to keep expectations low and to mix in a lot of fun stuff, which is something we still try to do. It's not like we hole up in a hotel room and 10 hours a day doing worksheets and post-it notes and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's hot tubbing and meals made for us and walks and all that stuff.
And that's actually one of the reasons why at the events that I host, I build in a lot of time for that, for those casual conversations, for dinners out, for going on a little hike or hanging out at the outdoor hot tub overlooking the Whitefish Lake.
Yeah, I get time for both like solo and group activity outside of the training.
And learning time and then time to process, time to let it kind of sink in. So I think if you're planning, whether you're attending an event or kind of planning your own weekend or night away for planning, you know, build to start off maybe 50 or 75% fun stuff, relaxing stuff.
Yeah.
What would have been some of the planning exercises that you like the most or that you've seen come to fruition?
I've probably mentioned this in a previous episode. I don't know, but my favorite and very easy for me to pick is the be, have, do.
And I would say a couple of those things that we've put down or that you've put down, like it really helped inform our spending decisions and kind of our financial planning going forward.
Yeah. When it's okay to spend money when you would normally probably be frugal or hold back, you realize, wait, no, this actually is something that's very valuable to us and adds to our life. And so it's okay to spend the money on this. We don't have to beat ourselves over the head figuring out if we're going to spend that money.
Yeah. And especially for me, it's helpful to know that there's like five things that really add value to spend money on for you. Yeah. So when those five things come in, I can kind of, it's a good mental reminder of like, oh yeah, this is the one thing that Adam said is really important and be instantly more supportive of it.
Right. Because I remember at that one, we'd already fully remodeled two houses and we hadn't done the third quite yet at when we did the be, have, do. Mm-hmm. And I remember one of them being having the right tool for the job really added value. Mm-hmm. And so since then, if we need a tool to do the job, I'm not going to just try to force some other tool to get the job done for me and take three times as long. We actually get the tool and get it done.
I think the other thing outside of planning that's so important for these nights away or weekends away is celebration. Taking time to recognize how much progress you made. And I feel like that's something that we've been pretty good about doing ever since we got married. We celebrated when we paid off debt. We celebrated. We actually went out to dinner when we saved our first $50,000. We celebrated our first $100,000.
Yeah, that big celebration of reaching the $500,000.
Yeah, we did something really special for that event. But taking time during your planning time to look at how far you've already come, you know, and the progress you've already made, and to acknowledge that so you don't get caught in that, okay, and what's the next thing? And what's the next thing? Because then you always feel behind. You know, you always feel like you can't quite catch up.
Yeah. And something else we did, at least on one occasion, is I can't remember if it was like the 100,000 or 200 or 250,000, but we both decided that we were going to allow each other to spend 5,000, I think, mm-hmm. a piece on whatever we wanted. And that's what I used to get my motorcycle.
Yeah. I think it was 100,000. And we had kind of planned that in advance. Like we were probably at maybe 75 or 80,000 when we hatched this plan. Like once we hit this dollar amount, like we're going to take a little bit and divert that towards things that we're excited about, things that we really, really want to do that maybe we had, you know, we'd kind of postponed in trying to get to that first 100,000. But I think that's important all along the way to find something to celebrate those mile markers, because you've put so much effort and time and energy into getting there. It's good to acknowledge that somehow.
Right. To reward yourself or to celebrate the moment, to help encourage you to continue to try to make those goals in the future.
And I feel like that carries forward in just a gratitude practice. You know, I would say that habit of really doing like full-sized gratitude exercises on our nights away, it's something that has infused our everyday life. There's so many times that we sit back and kind of take in, you know, experiences that we're having, or, you know, sometimes it's the small things, like because we're FI and we don't have like 9-to-5 jobs. Sometimes it's that Monday morning when we're having coffee and we're like, oh my gosh, we're so glad we don't have to go into work today. Yeah. We're so glad that we're sitting on our deck and like watching our ducks do their little duck antics in the yard.
And we can sit out on the patio and plan out our day or our week. And even if we got a lot of things on our table, we know it's on our timeline.
Yeah. I think that kind of daily, weekly moments of gratitude also helps you appreciate how far you've come and all the work that you've put in. And it makes the work that's coming ahead for your next goals and your next dreams feel a little bit lighter to me, you know, because we still have goals and dreams and plans, and all of those things are going to take a lot of work and effort to make those happen. But I think that daily gratitude lightens the load.
It even makes you look forward to it.
And that's the last thing I would say, is all these things that we've accomplished together, you know, financial, we'll just focus on the financial for now, but I would say it's one of the sweetest parts of our marriage, is the things that we've worked on together and that we've accomplished together. I think that brings so much richness to our relationship because we share that.
Yeah, definitely gives us a lot to share together on a daily basis, which is a good thing because we spend a lot of time together on a daily basis.
We do spend a lot of time together. Yeah, but I mean, I was even thinking this morning, if we had just gotten married and one of us brought all of the assets or the accomplishments into the marriage on their own, we would still reap the same benefits from it. But how much richer it is that we've accomplished this together is really special. So for the couples who feel like it's a struggle to get on the same page, it's a struggle to like accomplish things together, it is hard. But if you stick with it, it might be one of the richest parts of your relationship. Well, thank you for joining me. Thank you for continuing to show up and give a little sneak peek into the other side of this relationship.
You're welcome. And I hope you guys have enjoyed having me around.
And for the couples, for the ones who want to be able to dream big together, accomplish big things together, remember that you don't have to be perfect to make progress. You just have to be a little bit more courageous every day. An adventure awaits.